Hello, and welcome to Wiki Politiki, a show designed to bring right and left front and center, to turn the funk into function, and leave the junk at the junction. At a time when so much political discourse is heat without light, Wiki Politiki shines the light of love and truth on the darkened corridors of power, and then brings leading solutionaries into conversation to light the way forward together. Your host is Steve Behrman, author, comedian, and political and spiritual uncommentator. You might know Steve as his cosmic comic alter ego, Swami Beyondananda, or as the author of a more serious book with cellular biologist Bruce Lipton, Spontaneous Evolution. If you recognize that crisis precipitates evolution, and judging by the current crises, the chances of precipitation are 100%, this show is for you. Welcome to the Evolutionary Uprising. Now, here is your host, Steve Behrman.
Well, hi there. Welcome to Wiki Politiki, Conversations for Co-Creation, where we shed light on the darkened corridors of power, and we shine the light ahead of us to the path where evolution is leading. Purpose of Wiki Politiki is to bring left and right front and center to face the music and dance together. In other words, to address problems rather than defend positions. Well, if you've ever heard or used the word fracking in recent months or years, you have filmmaker Josh Fox to thank. His award-winning film, Gasland, in 2010 exposed the gaslighting by the fossil fuel companies in their attempt to sell fracking, defined as, quote, the process of injecting liquid at high pressure into subterranean rocks, boreholes, and so on, so as to force open existing fissures and extract oil or gas. Unquote. Fox's claims that fracking polluted groundwater and caused earthquakes made him the target of a $100 million smear campaign on the part of the gas industry. Writes Josh, quote, this campaign of misinformation and slander was run by people we have heard quite a bit about in recent times, Steve Bannon, Andrew Breitbart, James O'Keefe, and others. And what Steve Bannon and company did to Josh from 2010 to 2015, he did to the entire American electorate in 2016. Josh was the beta test for the types of propaganda, we call it impropaganda, and the smear campaign that the gang that created Cambridge Analytica is now known for worldwide. Josh is now telling his story in an uncompromising way through a new film called The Truth Has Changed. Of course, he is best known for the Oscar-nominated, Emmy Award-winning Gasland, Parts 1 and 2. Earlier this year, Josh was invited to join the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences, and he is internationally recognized as a spokesperson and leader on the issue of fracking and extreme energy development. His other film, How to Let Go of the World and Love All the Things Climate Can't Change, premiered at Sundance Film Festival in 2016, won the Environmental Advocacy Award at the Washington, D.C. Environmental Film Festival, and was released on HBO. He's also founder and artistic director of International Wow Company, and his work for the stage includes Surrender, an interactive war epic that was nominated for a 2009 Drama Desk Award. So a lot of history there. We're going to be really excited to talk with Josh. So welcome, Josh.
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing just
Thanks
fine.
Thanks for that wonderful introduction.
Thank you. I really appreciate your work, by the way. I guess you can't really use the word enjoyed Gasland, but I found it to be a really very moving picture. So why don't you tell us a little bit about Gasland? How did that movie come about? And tell us about what happened after it was released.
Well, Gasland came out at a time when very few Americans or anybody worldwide had any deep appreciation of fracking, except for the people who were on the front lines of that battle, who were spread out all across America and all across the world. I was approached by the oil and gas industry, or rather I should say my family was approached by the oil and gas industry on a small plot of land that we have in Pennsylvania, where the house was built, where I was born, in Milanville, Pennsylvania, a tiny little hamlet that is right on the Delaware River, and part of that Delaware River Basin, which is the watershed for New York City, for Philadelphia, for southern New Jersey. And we were approached to lease that land. It was about 19 acres, to the oil and gas industry for this thing that nobody had ever heard of called fracking. And the oil and gas industry came in and said, oh, it's perfectly safe. We inject water. You're going to make tons of money. It's environmentally friendly. It's like, this is just free money. You should take it. And they were offering people huge sums of money, like $5,000 an acre, $6,000 an acre for their land. And in that case, for us, that was just initially just, $100,000. Nothing to sneeze at. So everybody was running around in a kind of feeding frenzy. But it didn't sound so sound to me. It sounded like this should really be looked into. I noticed that the people who were pushing fracking were people like Dick Cheney, George Bush, Halliburton, ExxonMobil. And I thought of all the other projects that they have pushed out on the world and thought, this really needs to be looked into. And lo and behold, I traveled all across America interviewing people who had gone through fracking in from PA to Wyoming to Texas to Arkansas to California, and found that it was an environmental destructiveness that I had never seen before. The water was contaminated, that there were hundreds of chemicals, most of them carcinogenic or neurotoxins, being injected into the ground. It was polluting groundwater. There were toxic emissions that were creating health crises up to a mile away from every single individual well site. They were proposing 75,000 wells in just our area alone, 150 or 200,000 wells in New York State. This was causing a health crisis. It was upending people's lives. They had gone from living in relatively safe areas, suburbs or cities or rural areas, and then overnight the oil and gas industry comes in, takes over everything, toxifies the landscape, destroys your property value, destroys your health, and leaves you holding the bag. So this road trip across America to investigate fracking, because I wanted to know what we should do here, turned into the film Gasland, that really is the chronicle of that road trip. And of course, the striking scene was seen all over the world by hundreds of millions of people, which really defined the industry, was the scene where in Colorado and in several other locations, residents who have had fracking nearby can actually light their water on fire directly out of the tap, because that water is so contaminated with methane and other chemicals that it's literally flammable. So if you've seen the clips of me and other folks in their kitchen turning on the faucet and it's, boom, the water explodes into fire, then you've seen a piece of Gasland. And that really defined the industry before their PR was able to pull the wool over people's eyes. And we successfully fought back against fracking in New York State. We fought back against fracking in the Delaware River Basin. And I'm glad to say that years later, those campaigns succeeded. We banned fracking in New York State. We banned fracking in the Upper Delaware River Basin in Pennsylvania, protected the watershed for millions and millions of people. And we've seen fracking bans, actually be won all across the globe. In France, the whole country banned fracking. The Netherlands, Ireland, Bulgaria, Romania, Poland. About 80% of the countries in Europe have now banned fracking. Of course, Donald Trump, very big fracking supporter. Fracking is being pushed all across the United States. And what people don't recognize and should recognize is that also Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton and a lot of Democrats, including Joe Biden, very big pushers of fracking, even though it's been demonstrated that fracking and frack gas, natural gas, we call it frack gas, because most of the gas that we use is actually fracked, 95% of it, is actually the worst fuel that we can develop if we want to stop climate change. So those who are pro-fracking Democrats, we think of as climate change deniers. And so, our movement is still very much on the move. It's on the march. There's Gasland. There's Gasland Part 2. Both of those films premiered on HBO. Gasland was also on Netflix. I think now it's on Sundance Channel, and it's on Amazon. And then the third film, How to Let Go of the World and Love All the Things Climate Can't Change, is really the end part of that trilogy, which is about climate change. So it brings me from a guy who was relatively ignorant of all of this, of extractive industry, and of all the nefarious things that it does, to, you know, the biggest questions on the face of the earth, which have to do with climate right now. So that's that trilogy. And The Truth Has Changed is really sort of the next chapter in that development in a very different format.
So I just want to go back to something that you said, because this is very, very significant. You know, people were so puzzled. How did Donald Trump get elected? And a lot of that has to do with the betrayal of the mainstream Democratic Party to corporate interests while promoting these, you know, cultural differences and so on. And, you know, that's the sad story, that in a certain regard, both political parties have been bought by the Koch brothers and by the industry. And I remember watching that, and I remember that what I was thinking when I saw that one scene of lighting up the water. I kept thinking of Jim Morrison flipping in his crypt, singing "Come on, baby, light my water." It's just somehow
we use "Light My Fire" in one of the movies in Gasland Part Two, which is the mayor of Dish, Texas, who is actually the mayor of a town that gets incredibly contaminated by the oil and gas industry. Dish, Texas, being a funny town because Dish, Texas became Dish, Texas because it won a contest to rename the town for Dish Network. And they gave their residents 10 free years of Dish Network in Dish, Texas. Unfortunately, they also got a lot of free chemicals and contaminants and pollutants and carcinogens in their air, courtesy of the oil and gas industry. And Calvin Tillman, my good friend, who I've known for many, many years because he was the subject of the documentaries, actually moves out of his own town. The mayor moves out of his town. And so when the mayor is moving out, I think it's his brother-in-law, sits down at the piano, and as they're carrying out the last piece of furniture, he's playing "Come on, Baby, Light My Fire" on the piano, and it is the irony is not lost on anyone who's watching that. It's a pretty amazing moment. So, if you haven't seen Gasland or Gasland Part Two, run, don't walk, to your nearest Amazon computer terminal, or watch it. A lot of bootlegs are out there of it online, actually, I should say. It's on Sundance Channel as well. And How to Let Go of the World and Love All the Things Climate Can't Change, that's the third part in the trilogy. It is a thrill ride that goes all across the world. So please do check out those films if you haven't seen them.
So, you know, prior to this, your family being offered this made an offer that they could actually refuse. What were you doing before then? Were you in the arts? Were you a filmmaker?
Oh yeah. Well, I've been running my own theater and film company called International Wow, which you introduced earlier, since 1996, since I was just out of college, and that is a company that produced huge epic theater productions that we wrote and created ourselves with international casts. I was actually founded in Thailand with myself and a group of actors from Thailand, and then quickly spread to working with actors throughout Asia, Japan, Philippines, Indonesia, India, Korea, Malaysia. And then we started to do productions in New York City with international casts. We did our earliest claim to fame was a production called The Bomb, which was the very first production about 9/11 to be made by New Yorkers who went through 9/11. And if you were in New York and you saw The Bomb, there were lines around the block. It was a huge success of an avant-garde show, 28 actors from 11 different countries, really taking us through a map of American intervention and America's relationship to the world that goes from Oppenheimer and the World War II all the way through to 9/11 and the war in Afghanistan, which we were vehemently opposed to. We were one of the only organizations in New York City, or perhaps in America, that was opposed to the war, not only the war in Iraq, which a lot of people were opposed to, and so were we, but the war in Afghanistan. Because when you look at these things from an international perspective, nation states being what create wars, rich people and corporations from nation states are what create wars, and it's always the poor people who end up dying and suffering. And so as an international theater company, we're very well aware that we can't create nationalist wars. So the bomb was an explanation and understanding and a staging of 9/11. From an international perspective, and that gave us quite a lot of notoriety. We created after that about 5 or 6 or 10 different plays, including a film and a film on the Iraq War, working with veterans from the Iraq War, working with actors from the Middle East, actors from New York City. Created quite a few huge epic productions, one of which you mentioned was called Surrender. And while I was doing Surrender, which was a 4-hour war installation epic that was done in collaboration with Jason Christopher Hartley, an amazing author and Iraq War veteran. All of that, the entreaties from the gas industry were happening at the same time. So we would be rehearsing Surrender, and then I would be running out to do an interview with somebody in Pennsylvania and then running home. And then quickly we realized that this issue of fracking was an enormous thing. So we're sort of splitting time. I would do rehearsals until 11 o'clock on Surrender, and then I would go to work with Matt Sanchez, my editor on Gasland, until 4 o'clock in the morning, and then get up the next day and do it all over again. And so the work on Gasland really took me away from that theater work for a while, although we have done several theater productions since then, and the truth has changed sort of brings me back into the theater, which I'm really, really excited about and really excited to show that aspect of my work and my life, which I think a lot of people who know my documentary films don't know.
Yeah, well, we'll talk about that in a little bit. We got about a minute left before the break, but what we're going to want to talk about is you were talking about the 9/11 and so on, and obviously your movie about that was about blowback. It was about the proverbial chickens coming home to roost and so on from our interventions out there. And lo and behold, they don't like us. So when we come back from our break, we're going to talk more about the reactions of the gas and oil industry to Gasland. We're talking with Josh Fox, filmmaker and theatrical performer and producer. We'll be back after these messages.
Connecting you with the best of the conscious minds in the world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM. Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Om Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
More than 24 million Americans have an autoimmune disorder, and that number continues to grow. I'm Sharon Saylor, and I'm one of those 24 million. To put that number in perspective, cancer affects about 9 million and heart disease up to 22 million. That's why I've brought together top experts and those thriving regardless of their diagnosis to bring you the latest, most up-to-date information. Join me, Sharon Saylor, Friday night, 7 p.m. Eastern, for the Autoimmune Hour on Life Interrupted Radio to find out how to live your life uninterrupted.
Are you done with the daily barrage of negativity? Ready for some positivity? Creations Magazine has been inspiring the soul for over 30 years, delivering thought-provoking and solution-driven articles, essays, and poetry that inspire you to enjoy a vibrant life. Holistic health, personal and spiritual growth, relationships, the environment, and so much more. Read us online or order a subscription, creationsmagazine.com.
911, what's What is your emergency?
My kid shot himself.
All right, where's the wound, sir?
911, what's your emergency?
Please help. My son shot his brother.
911, what is your emergency? Okay. 911, please state your emergency.
Every day, 8 kids and teens are unintentionally killed or injured by loaded and unlocked guns.
It wasn't locked.
Learn how to make your home safer at endfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and End Family Fire.
Hi, Steve Behrman. We're back on Wiki Politiki with our guest, Josh Fox, talking about his movie Gasland and also the new theater piece turned into a movie, The Truth Has Changed. Josh, let's talk a little bit about the response to Gasland and what happened out in the aftermath.
Well, this is really part of the big story behind The Truth Has Changed, which is something I haven't been able to talk about really in quite a while because it's just very sensitive. You know, they threw everything at me except the kitchen sink and then probably the kitchen sink too. You know, the oil and gas industry has spent, I don't know, half a century trying to deny its harm in the world. And the way they do this is much like the way the tobacco industry started in the 50s, by creating bogus science, by getting people to come out and say things, you know, like the tobacco industry said, you know, oh, well, smoking is actually good for you, and these doctors prefer you smoke Camels and blah, 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 blah. And the oil and gas industry have said things like, well, carbon dioxide is great for the environment. It's great for plants. It makes things grow, you know, to deny climate science. And they spend hundreds of millions of dollars, you know, to refute the actual scientific evidence that will keep us living on the planet, which is climate science. Well, if you take all of that ire and that entire machine and you aim it at one movie and one person and one small aspect of a movement, you kind of can encompass what the fossil fuel industry threw at us when we were making Gasland and when we were trying to fight fracking. Fracking being one of the most important developments of the fossil fuel industry in the last century. You know, fracking is the key to all of their new oil and gas, right? They absolutely have to have fracking to have any new oil and gas, right? And so when we were out there to take it down and to say to people, this is fundamentally at odds with human life, they, you know, they came after us with everything they had. So this was about, you know, they published whole websites that said that I was a liar, that said everything about me was wrong and that the entire film was wrong. They sent those to every journalist that they knew. There was a whole website called Debunking Gasland. There was a YouTube video campaign that was pegged to Google search term ad. So if you searched my name, Josh Fox, or the movie Gasland, the first link, it was a sponsored link. It was one of those things that sort of looks like it's a regular result, deceptively, but it's actually an ad. And that ad would direct you to a YouTube video with a very nice and officious and warm-sounding woman who is saying how everything in the movie Gasland is fake. And that shot up to hundreds and hundreds of thousands of views. And, you know, when I went on The Daily Show with Jon Stewart, they sent him 50 – he came into the dressing room before I went on, and he goes, we got 50 faxes from this place called Energy in Depth. And I said, you know, well, that's the gas industry. They're attacking the film. He goes, oh, yeah, we know. We're not going to fall for that. But he still ended up asking me a question about it on the air, which gives those things credibility. And this would happen over and over and over again to the point to which I was being followed home. My address was being published. They were telling people to do drive-bys, quote unquote, of my house, right? Just to say hi, ha ha. We would do screenings and people would, you know, rev Harleys and run around the theater. So the movie would be drowned out by the sound of the Harley engines. They would stage protests outside of screenings. Then they got really creative. The oil and gas industry actually started to make movies. They made two feature films, to refute Gasland, which were weirdly obsessed with me and with my reporting. One of them was called Frack Nation, and another one of them, oddly enough, is called Truthland. And these were, you know, put out there by the cabal of, you know, Steve Bannon, Fred Davis, Andrew Breitbart, and yeah, Toothland. It's kind of amazing. And so they spent an enormous amount of time on this. They even, when we got nominated for the Oscar for Best Documentary, they even mounted a campaign at the Academy to try to get them to rescind the nomination. My publicist was so happy. She was throwing things up in the air. She was going, "You can't buy this kind of publicity. They're going to hand you the award." You know, and it was like that. So, you know, after about 4 years of literally following me around the country, they would book screenings of their films opposite the screenings. Like, we would have like a hall of 800 or 1,000 people show Gasland or Gasland Part 2, and they would book a hall across the street, like the bar across the street, where they'd have 8 people watching Truthland, and they would try to get the press to come in and cover, you know, both sides. So after about 4 years of doing
funny,
that—
It's not funny, I'm just laughing, you know.
No, it is funny. It's funny if, well, I mean, this kind of thing does definitely start to get under your skin. Because they know you. They understand you. They found out aspects of my personality, background, of the things that were about me, and they would publish, you know, this guy is actually a theater director, and he's not a trustworthy kind of guy, and, you know, like, they did everything they could possibly do except for call me a New York Jewish intellectual communist homosexual crackpot, you know. But that was the implication, right? And so, you know, like, that was the kind of treatment that would come after me. And it does get under your skin when you're at home at night in the middle of the woods in Pennsylvania, and you know that they've encouraged a lot of people to think that you are a terrorist, because, well, the Department of Homeland Security came out and said that anti-fracking activists were possible eco-terrorists. Of course, the Department of Homeland Security's former head, Tom Ridge, was now working for a lobbying firm that was the Marcellus Shale Coalition, which was pushing fracking all throughout Pennsylvania. Wonder how that happened. So, you know, all these things, one of the buildings on my parents' property was mysteriously bore, and that was ruled an arson. Mm-hmm. And so it got pretty scary, and of the heebie-jeebies, and you want to check every— I'd done all this work with the military, with my theater productions and my previous film, so I would go room to room and clear the house, make sure nobody was there. It was a time of enormous, enormous stress.
You know,
so why is this all important to tell the story of some of this? I tell the story and the truth has changed. Well, the reason why is because this is exactly what the Republican Party, which Cambridge, what they do to the American public every skin. They bully you, they threaten you, they traumatize you, and they leave you in a state of defense of you rather than trying to find some kind of forward progress. And it's very, 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 very important that American people realize that this is an instrument that these people are trying out there to try to traumatize Americans and pummel us into submission. Because when we become traumatized by the kinds of things that Donald Trump is doing, we have to heal ourselves before we can fight back. We have to get out of that nonverbal state of depression and rage in order to move forward. And that they know that very consciously. And this is psychological torture that they're exhibiting on people. I know it because this is what I went through.
You know, what's very interesting about this tactic, which, of course, it started with the tobacco industry when they were hardly sophisticated. And then right now you're seeing the exact same thing with pharmaceuticals and vaccinations, for example, where even the progressives are enrolled in this nonsense that vaccines are completely safe. You're seeing it now with 5G. You're seeing it with genetically modified foods. So in all of these areas, the same forces and the same tactics are being used. You know, again, we can talk a little bit more about Google and Facebook, but that's really what's happening now. Tell us about Cambridge Analytics. What did they do? How did their work into
I'm so sorry. I can't let that go by. I mean, you know, as far as I know, vaccines are safe. And as far as I know, 5G is safe. And so I don't have any evidence to the contrary at all. But, like, I think there's a lot of wacko conspiracy theories on both the left and on the right. And to be honest, vaccinations are extremely important to a healthy population, especially when we're talking about young kids, in America. But I'll let that go. But, when we're talking about facts and we're talking about reality, we're talking about scientifically verified truth. We're talking about how climate change is real, about how fracking is bad, and we're talking about how ads are targeted specifically to people to engage in behavior that knocks them off certainty and increases the chances for the power base to consolidate itself. And Cambridge Analytica's objective was to elect Donald Trump. That was their objective. Mm-hmm. And they were going to do everything possible, including push crazy conspiracy theories on both sides to make sure that they split the left and pushed people off Hillary Clinton. Now, I was a Bernie Sanders surrogate, right? I worked for Bernie out there as a surrogate. We do rallies together. We talked a lot about banning fracking, advising that campaign on energy issues throughout my entire history. However, when Bernie did not win the nomination, the Bernie campaign and myself and a lot of us went to the platform committee, and I was on the Democratic platform committee, and we created the single most progressive document that any political party has ever produced in the history of this nation, which had an enormous amount of good in it. Now, I didn't love Hillary Clinton either, and Hillary Clinton certainly supported fracking. However, that document was the result of really amazing people working together who were both on the Clinton and the Sanders side. Now, scroll a month later, Steve Bannon comes in charge of the Trump campaign, and I'm fighting my own people who are really supporting fracking, who want to stop fracking, because the Trump campaign is telling those people to vote for Jill Stein. They're out there with ads. They're out there saying, vote for Jill Stein. Believe that Hillary's a fracker. Believe that Hillary's a racist. Believe that Hillary's this. Believe that Hillary's that. They push people because of these hot button conspiracy theories. Don Podesta is having sex with young boys in the back of a pizza parlor. You know, these kinds of things are absurd. And quite honestly, you can really understand how these corporations benefit off of our confusion and of our disarray. But I watched it happen not only to the people on the right who believed that Donald Trump was somehow a populist, even though he's the most megalomaniacal billionaire that's ever walked the face of the earth. At the same time,
although he may not be a billionaire,
close enough. Who cares? Like at that point, there shouldn't be billionaires at all anyway, right? We should have no billionaires. A billionaire is an obscenity. A billionaire is a hoarder. A billionaire is a person who has far too much money and power. And that should be, I believe billionaires should be illegal. I believe once you hit 999,999 million, I think that's probably enough.
You've had enough. But all you can eat place, you've eaten enough.
But to be truthful, watching that unfold in front of me and realizing that we only lost by 10,000 votes in Michigan, we only lost by 80,000 votes in PA. Those were states where there was a heavy population that really hated fracking. And those were some of those votes were either undervotes. 100,000 people did not vote for president in Michigan. They voted for Senate. And, a lot of people voted for, quote unquote, the Green Party. Instead of looking at the real progress that we had made in America. And that's what I'm talking about. I think that when we go into this 2020 election, you're going to see a lot of people say, whoever's Democrat nominee is, it's not very good. Oh, stay home. Oh, this person's that, and this person's the other thing. This is all aligned to try to get Donald Trump reelected.
Of course. Of course. I do know people who fell prey to the Pizzagate and it's kind of put together like a game, and you're being drawn into this conspiracy, and they throw out clues. I know people who got involved with this QAnon and all of this stuff that, would seem obvious
That's
disinformation.
Amazing stuff, right?
You know, and
and also believing in aliens and all this kind of stuff. Aliens are coming down, and they're really the people who are supplying the young boys to John Podesta. I mean, it's just like, let's just do this through facts. The Center for American Progress, that I don't like, is pro-fracking. You know, Neera Tanden and all the people who work over there are pro-big business. They take huge amounts of money from Amazon. They do all sorts of evil things. However, they're not anywhere near as evil in their tiny little finger as what Donald Trump is doing in the world right now. There is no comparison. Donald Trump and Jair Bolsonaro in Brazil was also elected with a lot of these same tactics. 40 million fake news WhatsApp messages directly to voters helped him get elected in Brazil, and now we're watching the Amazon burn. We're watching every single environmental regulation in the United States be rolled back. All these things that we fought for decades rolled back, not to mention just the constant pummeling of our state of sanity because you have in office a sexist, racist, and I say this with all possible accuracy, buffoon in the White House who is constantly hurting your eardrums when you just even listen to him. That is doing unprecedented damage to America's character and psyche, who we are as Americans, you know, and we're seeing all these horrible indicators just rising up: poverty, discrimination, police violence, brutality, violence against women, violence against the environment, climate change denial, fracking. Every single one of those things would be on a downturn rather than an upswing during a Clinton presidency. I was not a fan of Hillary Clinton. I'm back signed up with Bernie Sanders right now. I'm going to be introducing him in Brooklyn on Tuesday night. But, you know, honestly, when it comes down to it, there is sanity and there's insanity. And what they're trying to push is insanity. And we have to be clear on what the truth is. We have to be clear on what the facts are. We have to be clear on what progress is.
And that really brings us to the title of your new work, which is called The Truth Has Changed. We're going to take a little break in a minute, and we'll come back and talk about that. But this is really, I mean, certainly I was not a Hillary fan. Of course, I voted for her because to me it was obvious. But there are a lot of people who are moved in the other direction. So we'll talk more about how the truth has changed and how perhaps we can have an impact after this message.
Free your mind with Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose: to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free, ascendinghearts.com.
Hello, I'm Lisa Barry. Join me every Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time for Light on Living, a chance to see new, hear different, and feel more as I shine the spotlight on all the ways to lighten the load of life's challenges. Light on Living is your link to that new way you're looking for, that new understanding that will enhance your life, and that positive connection that will support your growth. So join me, and you'll gain insight and start to see things in a new way that motivates you.
The Shift Network, presenting transformative programs and events to help you waken to your full potential so that together we can build the more beautiful world our hearts know is possible. Our classes support you in finding and cultivating your gifts and in bringing those gifts to the world to create tangible change and connect us as global citizens. Go to theshiftnetwork.com or follow the link on the Wiki Politiki sponsors page.
Imagine being fired because of who you love. Imagine being denied medical treatment because of who you marry. Imagine being evicted because of who you are. Millions of Americans don't have to imagine this. They have to live it. Because in 31 states, it's legal to discriminate against LGBT people. Get the facts at beyondido.org. Brought to you by the Gill Foundation and the Ad Council.
Thank you.
We're back on Wiki Politiki with Josh Fox. We're talking about his new film, The Truth Has Changed, and obviously not for the better. Anything more? I mean, it sounds like you've really you've made a very clear case that we have been subject to toxic disinformation intended to confuse, intended to create harm, intended to benefit the oligarchic few over the many, and yet people have fallen prey to that. I'm sure you probably know people who have. What can we do? First of all, tell us more about the movie and how people can support it. Let's start with that, and then we could talk about
Thanks so much. We're running a Kickstarter right now.
Yep.
And the easiest way to get to the Kickstarter is either go to Kickstarter.com and put in Josh Fox, The Truth Has Changed, or go directly to our The Truth Has Changed website, which is thetruthhaschangedtour.com, thetruthhaschangedtour.com. So I've been on tour with the performance piece all across the United States starting last year, right before the midterm elections, and I want to keep going. There's both the film and the performance, and we're doing both. Mm-hmm. And some places I'm doing the performances, some places I'm showing the film. And then that we engage with an audience, and then we start to have a dialogue. When we toured Gaslamp and Gaslamp Part 2 and How to Let Go of the World, these were films that really helped people matriculate new folks into the anti-fracking movement, into the movement on climate change. So people would come for the movie. They'd come for the entertainment. They'd come for the performance, and they'd really leave with a lot of information about how they could get involved locally, because we would partner with local groups on the ground and provide an event for them to really to make their communities understand the threat that was there in front of them. This is very, very similar. We're working with anti-fracking organizations. There's a lot of information about fracking in the movie. We're working with climate change organizations. There's a lot of information about climate change in the movie. We're working with organizations that deal with voting and deal with the truth and deal with immigration. There's a lot of issues in the film and the performance, The Truth Has Changed, that gravitate around those. But the primary message here is that truth is derived by us as a community when we work together. Truth is understood when we understand the threat to our basic daily lives. And there is no greater threat right now than the climate. The fact that the human species, I think that there's moments when the truth jumps forward and changes. When the atomic bomb was invented, that was a moment when the truth about what humanity was fundamentally changed. Right? We went from a species that could not blow up the entire planet to a species that could blow up the entire planet at the drop of a hat. That meant the truth of what we were and who we were had fundamentally altered. I think the same thing is true of climate change. Climate change, when we recognize that the enemy within, our daily lives, right, our burning of fossil fuels, will end life on Earth, that is a moment when the truth about who we are and what we're doing fundamentally changes. Likewise, I think truth is based in reality, right? And reality is based on science. Science and reality are based on the planet. The planet is the ultimate arbiter of truth, right? Here we are walking on a thing that spins around the universe, and gravity holds us down, and there's these incredibly complex ecological systems that are in place to keep us alive. That's called the ecosystem, or whatever you want to call it, the environment. When we recognize that truth is derived from the planet, we understand that when we go into the other world, which is the cyber world, right, the world where the internet reigns, is not an arena of truth so much, right? That is almost like a secondary planet. It's like a spinning ball of cyberspace that we inhabit, and those planets are often suicidal and very dangerous and filled with untruth. They're filled with things like Pizzagate. They're filled with things like, things that are just conspiratorial and unprovable, and also designed specifically to get you to act in a way that's contrary to the people's interest, that's contrary to human rights, that feeds into the hands of the big corporations that we rail against, big pharma and big oil and big Wall Street and all of those. For example, when we know that the internet knows everything about us, right? Cambridge Analytica amassed 4,000 to 5,000 data points on every adult American, right? They knew everything that, from where you drove to the things you searched to what you knew, what you didn't know, to what kind of hair care products, what kind of videos you watched. And all of that becomes an algorithm that describes to them a person, and that person is you. And those supercomputers know exactly what to market you and how to market it to you. They know your psychology. They know your temperament. They know how you feel. They know your neuroses. They know your psychoses. They know everything about you. They know your medical history. So they know exactly how to market a candidate to you based on all the things that you like to hear, right? Those things are not always true. What you like to hear is not always true. Like, you might be wearing an incredibly ugly shirt, and I might be like, oh, that's a really nice shirt, you know? That's what the internet is doing to you all day long. It's taking all the things that you don't want to see and turning them into something that you do want to see, so you stay online. And that's one of the ways that you get that we all get manipulated online, and those manipulations are very difficult to discern because we don't want to discern them. We want to live in that hole, that mirrored, that walled garden that reflects ourselves back to each other, to ourselves, right? And that's the way we're built. But if we're going to try to get out of this mess, we have to get back to the earth. We have to get back to the environment that actually sustains us, air, water, plants, health, right? And out of this hall of mirrors that's constantly telling us we're these wonderful, you know, everybody's a movie star and this is this narcissistic thing. You know, honestly, we have to root ourselves in the truth of the planet, because the planet is telling us if we keep burning fossil fuels, we're going to die. We're all going to die. We're not going to have air to breathe. We're not going to have water to drink or to work with. And not only us, but all the species on the planet will become extinct because of our actions. This is a horrifying apocalyptic vision, and we are the first generation to know with absolute scientific truth what that apocalypse is going to look like. We can do something about it. That's the truth has changed. That's the way the truth has changed. And this is the performance that brings you through all these worlds that I want to bring to people and have a discussion about. You know, we're here humbled by this idea of the truth. You know, the truth is not something that we derive easily. It's something that we don't understand. And it makes us vulnerable. It makes us scared. It makes us confused. That's why we have to be together to work this out. And that's, I think, what the performance and the thing does. And that's what the Kickstarter is about. I want to go back out across the nation. You know, I mean, Gasland and these films did extraordinarily well, but we need your support. We need people to support it, because documentary filmmakers, you know, as right. well as we do, we don't do well enough to keep going without the support of the public. And this, putting this on tour, 100 cities across America, you know, doing rallies for the truth, rallies for climate, for immigration, for human rights, anti-racism, anti-sexism, anti-xenophobia, these things that we know we have at our core as a democratic a society that we're trying to make more equal, trying to make more egalitarian. That's what this tour is about. That's what we started. So go to the thing, go to the truthhaschangedtour.com and or maybe the truthhaschangedtour.org, I think .com, and check out like whole package there and make a contribution, $10, $25. There are great rewards. There's my book. There's private and, you know, it'll help us mobilize and galvanize communities across America to defeat Donald Trump, to restore the idea of journalism, and to fight for the environment.
You know, this is this whole idea of getting your face out of the laptop device or the iPhone and so on, and facing reality together. It just reminds me of that incident that happened a couple of summers ago where the swimmers off of the coast of Florida made a human chain to reach these people who were stuck in the riptide and save them. And, you know, when something like that is happening, you're not asking the person next to you, are you a Democrat or a Republican? You know, you just kind of do it. You're in a reality that is so much bigger than these kinds of divisions that are played upon and used, you know. And you know, even if the Democrats are kind of like the B team, they're not as good at manipulation as the Republicans are. The Republicans have set the standard, and I mean low standard, for the game. And I think part of what has to happen, as you're doing with your work, is the game itself is what has to be called out. That you know, just as you know, just as in this last election, people were blindsided by all the disinformation. That was very intentional. And, you know, people are still using Google. I just used it. People are still using Facebook. I noticed that whenever I Google something, like, for example, on genetically modified foods, as an example, there's the big agriculture is right there with their debunking of that. So when you told your story about Gasland, I'm thinking big agriculture, big pharma, fossil fuel companies, military industrial complex, all of those who have aggregated to make sure that short-term profits are first. So what you're saying is that, you know, there's a lot of people who are who would consider themselves conservatives and so on, who also recognize that that's true, but through the divide and conquer ways of communicating, knowing exactly what people already believe and how to tweak that to mobilize them emotionally. What is it that, that
I agree? I agree with what you just said for sure.
Yeah.
I think that the first step to this is really understanding the mechanism of the manipulation, you know? And I think if you just took this image for a second and put it in your mind, like all of us have those cell phones, right? And we're always looking down at those cell phones. Maybe not right now. Maybe you're driving right now. Maybe you're listening to the radio right now. But like, you know that you look down at your cell phone 20, 30 times a day, maybe more. If you just get a little mirror, a little compact mirror, and put it on front of your cell phone, just for one day, and every time you look at your cell phone, instead you're looking at yourself in the mirror, right? And then you go, you're recognizing how often you're doing that. Boom, 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 boom. I'm looking at myself. Because that's what your cell phone ends up becoming, right?
Yeah.
It becomes a communication device, of course, but it's also like this hall of mirrors where Facebook and Twitter and Google spit back to you exactly what you want over and over and over again. It knows what kind of shoes you like. It knows what kind of car you want to drive. It knows what kind of political stories and radios you want. It knows if you want to see things that are, meditation-oriented. It knows if you want to buy guns from the NRA. You know what I mean? It knows these things. So if you put your mirror on there, you'll recognize, oh, I'm looking at myself. Oh, I'm looking at myself. Oh, I'm looking at myself. And then you realize how often you're looking at your damn self. That's number one. Then the next thing you do is go out and take a bunch of corporate logos and write them on the mirror. Write ExxonMobil, write, Pfizer, write whatever, Facebook. Write all those corporate logos there on that mirror and realize that that's actually what's happening. You're getting that fed at you through your own reflection every single day. Now, I'm not telling you not to look at your phone. Like, I'm not telling you to do that because I think that's kind of absurd at this point. But I'm telling you to be conscious of what you're actually consuming and what you're actually encouraging. And that consciousness can, I think, lead us in a different direction.
You know, this is I think that's a step number one. And I definitely want to repeat again for the people where they can make a donation via Kickstarter. They can go to Kickstarter directly.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kickstarter.com, and you put in The Truth Has Changed or put in Josh Fox, and it'll pop up there for you. Also, there's our website, which is thetruthhaschangedtour.com. So thetruthhaschangedtour.com and the Kickstarter. Let me just see if I can. Kickstarter is Kickstarter.com/projects/ Josh Fox, TTHC, /rallythetruth.
So when you go to the Wiki Politiki,
you can search Kickstarter.
You know, we're going to have it up on my page. So when you go to Wiki Politiki, if you're listening to in the future, whenever that may be, you'll be able to get it right there on the page, and you can just go right there and make it easier. In the final couple of minutes, is there something that you're noticing right now? I call it a sign of the upwising, that it's an indicator that people are wising up to this level of manipulation, and we are likely to prevail in 2020. Any sign that you see that that gives you hope?
You know, I think it remains to be seen. I think there's been a lot of information about Cambridge Analytica, a lot of information about the Trump campaign in 2016, but not nearly as much information about how this was used to split apart the Democrats, right? I know Hillary Clinton was a terrible candidate. I really detested Hillary Clinton. But did that stop me working on the forward march to progress against an obvious authoritarian racist?
Yeah.
No, it didn't. You know what I mean? Like, and did that make me, you know what I mean? Like, and I understand another big sign of progress that I see right now is the emergence of Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, Rashida Tlaib, Ayanna Pressley, and Ilhan Omar as really these four incredibly dynamic women of color running, you know, the opposition to Trump and really leading the Democrats at this point. I see them in just doing an incredible job, and I see their popularity as a really, really great sign. You know what I mean? And I also am very emboldened by the fact that, you know, all the pundits want to count out Bernie Sanders. We've got the most money in our war chest. We have the most volunteers over, and we keep rising. And the truth is that we hold political revolution for the working people of this country, for the working classes, and that candidate who's unafraid to say the words "the 1% is the one who's going to fight for our rights, right? Not taking the money from the 1%, not taking the money from the fossil fuel industry. It's not about Bernie. It's about us collectively. I'm really excited about the fact that America has put him in the front runner status at the moment, and you know we're on our way. So I find that very encouraging. All of those things, however, are nothing in the face of climate change. We have to mobilize on climate change. Donald Trump was saying we should nuke a hurricane. A hurricane is a million times stronger than a nuclear bomb. Climate change is what we have. Climate change is what we have to defeat. That's what we have to do.
Thank you, Josh Fox, who produced Gasland and this new movie, The Truth Has Changed. I appreciate those final words and the encouraging words. This is Steve Behrman, WikiPolitiki. We're back with you again next week. Thank you.